Now it's just coming up to 11:32, and joining me in the studio, I'm very, very pleased to say, because I was a little bit worried, because sometimes I book guests in, and if I booked him in a long time ago, I sometimes wonder if the door, but I should have known that Chris is always very efficient, and he would be here. So thank you very much to Chris Booth. He is here. He is the head of CHAPS, which is the Men's Health Charity. Last time Chris was here, we were talking about the men's health events, which were being held at football clubs, where men can go along and get sort of tested for all different types of, you know, coronary heart disease and probably prostate cancer, and also gives them a health check to let you know where you're going in your life and, you know, what you need to do, maybe lose weight and control the diet a little bit more, etc. And also early detection as well of quite a lot of diseases and things. So it's a really good thing to go along to, and those were very, very successful. And are you still planning on doing sort of more football clubs over the next, 6 months?
Yeah, next week on the 22nd, we've got our men's health event at Ipswich Town Football Club.
Yep.
That kicks off at 10 o'clock. Men can come along on a first-come, first-served basis in the morning from 10 o'clock, or they can go onto our website, www.chaps.uk.com.
That's it.
Then they can book online and come along to a booked appointment in the afternoon.
Yep.
We're doing aortic aneurysm screening for men over 65.
Hmm.
Cardiovascular risk assessment, that's your risk of having a heart attack or stroke.
Yep.
Over the next 10 years. We do that for men from the age of 24 up to 80. We're doing prostate cancer screening for men aged 45 and over. We're doing skin cancer screening. That's particularly important if you've got any unusual lumps or bumps or moles that seem to be changing in character. Over the last year, we've certainly detected about 3 of the most dangerous types of skin cancer, malignant melanoma.
Yep.
We're doing diabetes screening, and we're running a physiotherapy clinic for anybody who's got any unusual aches or pains would like to get some advice.
And it's a great idea because it is aimed at men, because women do go to the doctors more than men. Men, you normally have to drag or book an appointment and then drag them along to go, because they're not really very good when it comes to looking after their health. Even if they've got a cold, they're not very good at looking after their health. And that is, I know that people laugh about man flu and all sorts of things, and it's not a generalisation, because that is the way men are. And I think that's the way men are brought up, is just to get on with things, whereas women, if they don't feel well, they normally go straight to the doctors.
Yes, that's very true. Men tend to disguise symptoms or ignore symptoms and present much later with problems than women. And I think this is one of the reasons why men's health statistics are almost universally worse than women's.
Mm.
And the NHS isn't really set up as a men's health service, whereas there are lots of services available for women. And one of the things that we want to do is raise awareness, but also look much more proactively for problems. And one of the things that we're doing, which is new at Ipswich this time, is we're running a mental health seminar.
Hmm.
It's directed really at occupational health and HR of companies, and it's about recognition of mental health problems in the workplace and recognition of early signs.
Yeah, we do. We have a podcast here. We have Mind that do a podcast from Brentwood with Bob Simpson, and they put together a show about all, you know, to do with mental health. And it is one of the things people are talking about more now. But again, it is probably more women would come forward than men.
I think that's still true. Yes.
Yeah. Now it's fantastic with the health checks, because you're doing them at football clubs, and obviously you've got younger people there and the older generation, so it's trying to bring up the younger guys to say, yeah, that's fine, every year I should go and have a check and I should get checked out, and it becomes the norm. So doing it somewhere at a football club is getting all of the ages, the age groups kind of involved, and it's also a bit of camaraderie between the guys as well, to actually come along and get themselves checked.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a brilliant idea.
And a lot of the ladies bring their chaps along,
yeah,
sometimes reluctantly, but drag them in.
Now, you're here today. We're going to be covering a different health topic every month. And this month, you've come in today to talk about prostate cancer. What are the statistics for prostate? Who does it affect? Does it affect very young men, or can it affect very old men? And how, you know, what are the stats for this?
Well, prostate cancer is the commonest of men's cancers in the UK, apart from skin cancers. And about nearly 42,000 men present every year with prostate cancer.
Yeah.
And it causes about 11,000 deaths a year in the UK. And in that respect, it's the second commonest male cancer killer.
Hmm.
So it is a major problem.
And what if people are out there at the moment and they're listening in, what are the are there early signs, or is it something that you can completely miss and it's not sort of diagnosed till later?
Well, prostate disease is very, very common.
Mm.
The commonest problem is so-called benign prostatic enlargement, which occurs in most men to some degree after the age of 40.
Yeah.
And this produces urinary symptoms. This is very common and shouldn't be ignored, because a small proportion of men with those symptoms will have underlying prostate cancer. The problem is that usually by the time a prostate cancer is producing symptoms, it's already got to a fairly large stage or size, and may well have progressed to a stage where we can't cure it.
Yeah.
So what we are very keen to do is raise awareness of prostate cancer so that men know about it.
Yeah.
And if they know about it, then they can proactively take steps either to catch it at an early stage or, much more commonly, address these urinary symptoms, which often cause quite a lot of inconvenience and are very easy to treat initially with drugs and sometimes with surgery.
So it would be, if somebody hasn't had, obviously we'll go through the health checks that you can have to hopefully prevent or, you know, get the early stages of prostate cancer with diagnosis and the tests you need to have done. With it being, you know, what men's symptoms to look out for is it getting up through the night, going to the loo, or not being able to control the bladder as well as they used to be able to do? Is that like a major symptom?
That's a very common problem. In fact, it's one of the most common reasons that men actually present to the doctor, is that they're either having to nip to the loo very frequently or urgently and occasionally don't make it.
Yep.
And if that happens at night, it's called nocturia. And, I mean, one can get up once a night and it's tolerable.
Yep.
But if you're getting up two times a night, for instance, and you're working and you're then going to work sleepy the following morning, if you're getting up three or four times a night, and this is common, we see men commonly presenting with, you know, so much frequency that it's really impacting on their lifestyle.
Yep.
And they mistakenly think that it's just something that's due to aging and they have to put up with it. And of course, it's completely untrue. It's usually due to prostatic obstruction or a malfunction of the bladder, and these are usually easily treatable.
What other symptoms might they get if they've already got that problem and they've kind of tried to ignore it? What other problems would they experience?
Well, the prostate sits immediately under the bladder, and the pipe that comes out of the bladder and goes down into the penis, or willy as we professionals call it, goes straight through the middle of the prostate.
Mm.
And when the prostate enlarges, it strangles that pipe. And so if you imagine it's a bit like the fall pipe from your gutter getting full of leaves, it takes longer for the rainwater to get down the pipe.
Yep.
So you stand there waiting for the urine to start flowing. When it does flow, it comes out with a poor flow, trickling stream, and it doesn't cut off cleanly at the end. It sort of dribbles afterwards and may often lead to staining of the pants.
Yeah. I was going to say, with we've go through maybe like the I know we can talk about sort of staging and things like that, but when you... completely gone from my brain then. I was going to say something. If you need to go to the doctors to actually go through and have the test, because that's the most important thing, is to actually go to the doctors. You've got so many things now with, you know, diabetes, you can go and be tested. You can be tested for prostate cancer, bowel cancer as well. There's early tests that you can actually go to your doctors before you run into any symptoms, and probably go once a year. And then if you've had your test for, say, if you had your prostate cancer test, is that every year you have to have that done, or is it every couple of years?
Yeah, we're now kind of moving into what's really quite controversial at the moment, and this is prostate cancer screening.
Yeah.
There's no national prostate cancer screening program, for a number of reasons that we can go into. Mm. But there isn't a screening program. There is a screening test, which is quite well known, and it's called PSA. It's a blood test. PSA stands for prostate-specific antigen. The trouble is, it's prostate-specific antigen, not prostate cancer-specific antigen, and there lies the problem.
Mm.
Because if there's anything wrong with the prostate, then the PSA is likely to go up. And for every three men who have a raised PSA blood test, only one will have cancer. The other two will probably have benign enlargement of the prostate or inflammation in the prostate. But nevertheless, if you get an abnormal result, it's quite worrying.
Yeah.
And for this reason, and also the fact that about one in five men who have prostate cancer initially actually have normal PSAs. So the test is not 100% accurate.
Mm.
I think it compares very well with bowel cancer screening. That's not 100% accurate, but there's a national screening program, and it's reckoned that bowel cancer screening cuts out or reduces the risk from death from bowel cancer by somewhere between 20 and 25%.
Yeah.
If we use PSA in a screening program, the latest estimates coming out of European trials are that it can reduce the death rate by up to 50%.
Mm.